starting, but that's okay. QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. At 1900 hours and 3 minutes local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, a plus offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting, and sometimes just a little bit later than that. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to www.bbarc.org. That's org. Make sure it's an org. bbarc.org. And a lot of good stuff there about us. And we have our annual picnic at Sugarloaf Park in Sugarloaf, up here by east of Big Bear Lake, this Saturday. So if you want to stop by, see what it's all about, come on over. We always love guests. All right, but before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, one announcement, of course, is the picnic that's coming up for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. That is at Sugarloaf Park. If you're a club member, please bring some kind of a side dish, whatever you want. If you're not a member, please come by. Check us out, see what we are, who we are, what we are. Pretty cool, runs usually from about 10-ish to about 2-ish, sometimes a little bit later. But yeah, anyway, good barbecue once a year. Of course, if you remember, the $20 a year covers this barbecue and the Christmas dinner at Christmas time over at the Senior Center and Field Day Barbecue. Pretty cool. A lot of stuff for $20. All right, topic for the evening. Going to pull this out of some personal experience and the QST still from August, page 99. And this article is Engaging the Next Generation of Hams. And what this is basically about, of course, is, hey, who's going to carry the torch? Where is it going? What's happening with the next generation? We have a lot of new technology. Are we getting sidetracked with that? Do we have youngsters out there on the sidelines not even knowing about us? All that good stuff. Good article by Jerry Partrick. Call sign KB4FP. Yeah, right, but let's get our roster out of the way here real quick. And starting with my good friend and helper here, Mike WB6CLZ, hopefully up here on the hill.
Thank you, Tom. Yep, we're still up here. This is WB6CLZ, and good evening to you, Tom, and everybody on the Tech Tuesday Net.
Well, thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. And let's see if your XYL there. Oh, I guess that's still not. It's like not nobody cares about being called an XYL. I don't know. Do they, Cindy? How about WB6CIN, Cindy?
Thank you, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is WB6CIN. It was good to see everybody at the breakfast this morning.
Well, good deal there, Cindy. Sorry I couldn't be there. Had my daughter and my grandson here, one of many of each. Anyway, so had to spend the day here. So, all right, but it was good. It was still a good day. Next, I have KA6CIA George. Let's see if he's out there.
Yeah, he's here. Good evening, Tom. KA6CIA.
And good evening, George. Sorry I didn't get a chance to see you today, but did have some priorities there. So, anyway, maybe next month. All right, well, let's see. We got KE6QI and KE6RJ. I know they're lingering out there somewhere. Let's see if they can check in.
Yeah, this is K6QI and KE6RJ is in...
Hello.
Good evening, all.
All right, good to hear you out there, Harry in the background, and Nancy, thank you very much, and looking forward to seeing you Saturday. Bring some good stuff. You always have good stuff there. All right, appreciate that. Next on my list here, let's see, I have KJ6HCS, Mike. Now, here, Mike out there this evening. How about WA6ITC, Rod?
Yeah, from Mike Williams, WA6ITC.
And good evening there, Rod. Glad to have you back here up on the hill. Oh, yeah, you always are up here on the hill. What am I talking about? Good to have you with us this evening. How about KJ6FIL, Mike?
KJ6FIL down here in Redlands. Have a good afternoon.
All right, Mike, glad to have you out there, and hopefully looking forward to seeing you this Saturday. And if you're bringing a guest, that's fantastic. And drag Dan up here again, by golly. But I'd love to see Robert. Yeah, glad to have if you guys can make it, that's great. All right, next I have KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary.
This is KJ6KDK.
And KDL.
Checking in.
All right, there they are, the lost soldiers. Glad to have you out there. And Jim, getting back to the normal routine, I hope. All right, thanks for checking in with us. I don't know if we have Frank out there. We'll give him a shout. W6GZI, Frank. All right, we don't hear Frank out there. How about KI6IQA, Kelly? Oh, I know he's out there. We're lingering somewhere. Just heard him out there. So if he's listening in, got his hands full, not a problem, Kelly. We'll get you checked in here. How about K9AOG, Stephen from Long Beach? And I'll hear old Stephen out there. How about K6GVL, Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is Ron, K6GVL from Torrance this evening.
Well, good evening there, Ron. Heard you on there earlier in down there by the beach. You must have made it home. Good deal. Thanks for being out there. Appreciate it. You got to get up here with this beautiful weather. Next, I have AD6PL Harold from Riverside.
Good evening, AD6PL.
And good evening there, Harold. Glad to have you out there. And this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group. Every Tuesday that we can. Let's see here. I got KJ6PYB. Let's see if Dave's still out there. All right, Dave's probably stepped away. That's okay. W6JLM Judith and W6KMM Ken. Let's see if they're out there hanging out in Sugarloaf.
We are indeed. This is W6JLM. W6KMM is here as well, and we will be listening. Good evening to everyone.
And good evening there, Judith and Ken. Thanks for checking in this evening. Appreciate that. All right. Let's move on down to, let's see. How about, let's see if Ron's out there. WA6HF. All right, nothing heard from Ron. How about K6YNW, Chris from the Lower Desert?
Good evening, K6YNW.
And good evening there, Chris. Glad to have you out there. Hopefully it's cooled off a little bit for you. Let's see, we got W6POO still out of range, and we'll move on down to KD6LEN Bill.
Yeah, you can't get rid of me that quick. I'm still here, KD6LEN.
All right, Bill, glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. Let's see here. Let's see if we have KJ6QYN. Shelly, are you mobile out there in Apple Valley? Okay, I don't hear Shelly out there. How about NQ7RD, Rick in Cerritos? All right, don't hear Rick out there this evening. And let's see here, next on page two is AE6CK Victor.
Evening, Tom and the group, Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
And good evening there, Victor. Hopefully you're going to be there at the picnic. Appreciate that. Good. Looking forward to seeing you up here. Next I have KA6ROD Rod.
Good evening, KA6ROD.
And good evening there, Rod. Thanks for being out there. Appreciate that. Let's see if Christy's out there. KB6LTY. All right, don't hear Christy out there. How about W6JET, Rob?
Everybody in the net, W6JET.
And good evening there, Rob. Rob, are you still up here, or are you back in Temple City?
I'm back down there, but I'll be coming back up.
All right, Rob, hopefully you can make it to the picnic. Bring everybody. It'd be great. And sorry I didn't get a chance to get by there and see it and chat about that stuff we were talking about. Now we'll work on that one. All right, next I have KJ6RAY, and a lot of times he's mobile. Let's see if he's out there. All right, don't hear Ray out there this evening, and that is kind of the regular list. Anybody out there like to check in as a guest or just check in for the evening, please come back to KF6Q.
KJ6PYB.
KJ6FQZ, portable.
All right, I got Dave, got you in here, and I got you checked in anyway. You're just away from the radio. And Steve, the Steve Master, the Meister. KE6FQC, gotcha. And I think I had somebody underneath Steve, but Steve, you did blot him out there. Who else was in there besides those two?
WA6FIZ.
Okay, I got WA6FIZ. Mickey, glad to have you joining us this evening. And I think we still got some more people in there. Please come back.
Lima Charlie Sierra.
K6LCS, our great information source of the ISS and ham satellite work. Thanks, Clint, for checking in. Anybody else out there?
B6BBZ.
Oh, my goodness there. Ray, good to have you out there. And hope you're happy with your house being all done. Got to be a great feeling. Anybody else out there?
UNO, motorcycle mobile.
All right, Motorcycle Mobile, got you out there. Man, you got to stop and get gas one of these days, right? I always hear you out. No, very cool, very cool. Got to be a cool setup. Got to see that one of these days. Anybody else?
KA9CQL, Mike.
DQL, Mike. Glad to have you out there as a guest this evening. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Well, that is a very big list. Appreciate everybody listening in this evening. And we'll turn it back over to my helper here, Mike, WB6CLZ. Well, Mike, real brief, anything to report on space weather worth reporting? If not, we'll move on to our topic.
Well, I've been trying to listen to some meteor scatter, but with no luck. I've had the rigs on 24/7 here on 6 and 2 meter calling frequencies, and I just haven't had very much luck with it. So I guess in a simple word, nope, not nothing to report, Tom. And let's see if we can get a satellite report tonight.
Well, you know, I know Clint's out there, but that guy's he's had his nose to the grindstone there. He's got these slave drivers over there in Norco. I don't know, Clint, anything new to say? I'll give you a real quick brief shot in here if you'd like.
Well, thank you. I was going to ask you folks if at your elevation you saw any Perseids the last couple of nights. And I hope that during the topic we talk about NASA's wonderful space program, the CFS program. I was about to work as an ARISS astronaut contact a year ago. But anybody see Perseids?
good deal. Your signal is a little weak in there. I'm not sure why, but thanks for being in there. And I don't think we copied all of that. Maybe a little bit at the end there. But anyway, Clint, hang with us there. And yeah, I've been keeping track of some of the new stuff supposed to be coming up into orbit here pretty quick. We may have some pretty cool stuff up there again. So, well, anyway, Mike, this is really cool. And like I said, I emailed you with a little bit of an experience there today. Pretty neat, and you have one to share too, I think. So what we're looking at here is, I mean, we're all ham operators out here, of course, and some ham operators that are listening in right now have been operators for decades, possibly many, many decades, and that is very cool. But ham radio is not something that's fading out. It's getting very popular. We're getting a lot more hams out there every year. It's increasing in the number of hams out there every year. But the thing is that, you know, who is carrying the torch? How do we pass this torch on to the next generation? And that's kind of like our topic this evening. A lot of people think, well, you know, this next generation, they have no interest. Well, you know what? That's not true. And let me just break here and I'll come right back. You know, and one of that, I think if we all remember back in school, there's the group that hangs out in the back of the room that tends to get in trouble. No, I don't know those guys. Oh, okay. All right, maybe I was back there once in a while. And there's the group in the middle, the average student, and then there's the group in the front, totally focused on the subject of the class and the teacher and everything. So all in all, kids are different. All kids are different. The kids are not a lot different than before. We still have kids. Kids are kids. A lot more technical toys today. A lot more things out there that they have at their disposal, which is actually good. But it does not mean that ham radio is going to die because of that. Actually, ham radio can become a lot more than what it is, and that's what we're going to talk about here. I do want to share, before we get in this article with this, and Mike, I'll give you a chance to share your thing with your loop over there. Did have the day to spend with my one of my daughters, brought my grandson up here for, you know, last night and today. And, of course, where are you going to take a 10-year-old that's focused on motocross and stuff and racing and all that? Well, I had no place we had to go, but we just went over to Sugar Loaf Park. Kind of cool. They got kind of a skate park over there and a bunch of cool stuff. And I had a conversation with another ham up here, John, KI6OHN. Had my radio with me, just because. And started talking, and I actually didn't catch their conversation. These kids, probably 17, 18 years old, sitting at a table behind us. And my wife said, no, well, actually, they wanted to know, you know, was that like a walkie-talkie, and what was it? And she made it clear, being a ham herself, that it was not CB, it was ham radio. And for ID, this is KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group, every Tuesday that we can. Well, anyway, you know, for most, you think, like, okay, well, that's just going to go over their head. They're going to be like, what is ham radio? But not. So, and, oh, that's cool. Oh, ham radio. You can talk anywhere you want, and it's free. And that was the main thing. And they had a clue of what was going on there. It wasn't CB radio. It was something better. And if I had had more time, I would have probably have really got on my soapbox and gone after that. But we were actually, it was a family little outing there, so didn't do that. But the fact is, it was like instant spark of, hey, that's cool. And if they have that much already in their mind of what it is and what it does, there's probably a few of those that would actually want to pursue that. So, anyway, Mike, you want to share what you had, a little experience just with people going by. I'm going to hand over to you, Mike, KF6Q, back over to WB6TLZ from Tech Tuesday and the group.
Tom, interesting experience, and thanks for handing it back over to me. I've got this here in Big Bear. We've got a 160-meter full-size loop, which ends up to be about a whole roll of number 14 THHW electrical wire. The things that, not a lot of houses, but, wiring that we use to wire up lights and things. So, anyway, and it's up usually about 20, 25 feet, something like that, this big loop that goes around the property. I'll be looking out the window, and a lot of times I'll see kids, just the other day, this little chubby red-headed kid, he's walking by and just kind of staring, and he looks up, and he's walking by, and he looks back and looks up, and I was too lazy to go out and, say, hey, you want to know what that is, but I have had others, the neighbor down the street, their dad's a CB operator, and the kids walk by to go to school and such. Well, we were out in the yard once, and they asked me, hey, what is that? And I said, told them what it was, 160-meter loop, and I just happened to have, it was around field day or, one of them, just happened to have the rig set up. I'm going to reset because I don't know if this thing will time out. And so I had it set up, and I said, well, here, you want to look at it. It's kind of like your dad's CB, only more. And, I started out with, and Tom, I think I called you on 2 meters here. I had my HT there and kind of said, I've got a couple of kids here in the yard. And I don't know if they said, no, they didn't say hi or anything, but I just kind of demonstrated it. They said, oh, well, that's cool. So then I turned on the other radio, and we were listening to people all around the United States. It was a good day on 20 meters. I tuned to a CW station and showed them how it would decode the CW on the radio, which was very cool. And then I would send their names and hi, happy Saturday or something like that to them with CW, and they could see that I was sending, and their names were coming up on the screen, and very cool. But, never to the next level, never to where they're excited enough to say, hey, let me bring my dad over here, get him excited, maybe he'll buy one of these things. So that's where I have the problem is getting to that next level to say, hey, this is really neat, and let's see if we can get you a license. Back to you, Tom.
Well, all very cool there, and about them actually, like you say, taking it to the next level. You have to understand people and kids and all of those, and of course. Do we? Yeah, sort of, a little bit. But I'll tell you who understands everybody more than all of us on impact is advertisement. Worked on, maybe 10 years ago, project for Viacom. Viacom Outdoor, which was bought out by CBS. Yes, the station. CBS Outdoor. What they do is they own a huge amount of billboards all over the place. And you used to see Viacom Outdoor be the little thing underneath there, and there's like a whole bunch of other companies too. But the main thing is this. You see a billboard along the freeway or a road or something. Their study says that you actually need to see that billboard 10 times before it actually impacts you like, hey, that's something I might look into. 10 times on the average. It's a glance. It's in passing, and with ham radio and on the first impact, that's all that may be. So that first impact or exposure is one. That's number one. You've got 9 more to go, and with that said, and that's per person, okay, or individuals or group. And of course, some are going to actually respond quicker and some less. But with that said, and these are, pretty good studies they did. It was a good, very good point to know. So, when you're talking to somebody, I talked to that guy, and he's just not interested. And how many times you talked to him? Well, I talked to him once. I said, well, there you go. Most of us don't realize that. You don't want to be a pain in the you-know-what, but if you're actually going to be out there and expose the great, great hobby adventure of amateur radio, it's going to take more than one exposure, so... Anyway, before we get into the article, I'm just going to pass it out to the group. Anybody out there want to share anything with that or any comments, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group. All is going here with Jerry's article. And you know what? I think a lot of what he's got here, this article is more than ham radio. It's also with cell phones and robotics. And there's a lot of things that really are just capturing the imagination of today's youth. So what really got Jerry interested in this stuff is that there's a lot of, what do they call it? There was an article you read about Hacker Scouts, where they basically, a group of people in California, just got together to learn about electronics, and the focus being different projects or electronic kits or stuff like that. And, of course, this is like an interest. And, of course, ham radio is like a subset of electronics, as well as robotics is and many, many other things. So, well, anyway, let's look at the viewpoints there, because a lot of different things about this that people look at in different ways. Mike, you want to pick it up from that point?
And a lot of people think it would be productive to gather young people.
Well, I'll call them kids rather than young people.
That's just my way. Anyway, together and kind of talk about ham radio. But, you know, there are things that you need to consider. Most kids have an image of ham speaking to other hams using a handheld transceiver. Well, you know, they see people on cell phones all the time, and their eyes just kind of glaze over that. Okay, well, what's the big deal about this? I've got my little cell phone, and I can do more and more than they can. Well, it's kind of difficult to kind of pose all the little nuances that we get, you know, with ham radio, its capabilities, its opportunity, and, you know, what it does to these kids, because, you know, you have to learn that via personal experience. You know, when you first look at ham radio, it's, oh, well, that's really cool, and then you got to really work your fanny off to kind of get a license, and then you kind of get into it and have personal experiences with working DX, and, maybe here on the repeater, having somebody come in from another country on Echolink, and be able to talk to them just like they're next door. Let's talk about the public educational system. Tom, over to you.
And you know, one thing too, just to point out, when they're actually with these different things that they're also competing with, or ham radio is competing with. Ham radio, of course, is about to take another leap and bound. Anybody out there who has operated ham radio, say, 30, 40 years ago, well, what was out there with a digital mode? What was out there with internet modes? Number one, there weren't any internet modes out there 30 years ago, not to speak of. Not like what there is now, and probably even less than that. Digital modes, what is that? What is digital, for crying out loud? This is all stuff that's transpired, and ham radio is a constantly flowing and expanding thing with technology. How many hams operated at 10 gigahertz 30 years ago? They probably couldn't spell 10 gigahertz, for crying out loud. I mean, that was top secret stuff out there 10, you know, 30, 40 years ago. You weren't going to be out there and working ham gear out there on 10 gigahertz, 24 gigahertz, or all the stuff that we have today. So it's a constantly flowing thing, and it's about to take a lot of leaps and bounds with software-defined radio and things like that. Well, let me reset. We'll get on here to the problem with the school system. And I'm not saying there's a problem with the school system that we have to redesign it. The problem, it is overloaded as we speak. You know, if you try to bring in an outside project or class into the school system, well, you know, they have to kind of be involved with that, you know, basically with different teachers and things too. And you can bring in hams and we can demonstrate this and demonstrate that and get people involved, but it takes time, and they're right now they are overloaded. The budgets are non-existent, and with that right there, it's like it's just almost impossible to do. I mean, in our eyes, it's like very easy, but the administration is like, well, no, now we have to wait out time for this and that, and it really becomes a bottleneck. And because of the educational demands, it's no wonder that, you know, they just really don't respond if a group of hams goes to, say, the principal or vice principal or the school board or whatever, say, like, you know what, we'd really like to do this, because they have no money, they have no time, they are swamped as it is. So Doesn't mean we can't go there, just means it's another big stepping stone we have to get over, so. But, you know, there's a lot of different things there with people donating equipment and donating knowledge of all this different stuff there, but it really takes a lot more than that. So, anyway, Mike, let's see if we can refocus on that. You want to pick that up.
Mine W.
Okay, I got Chris in there. Go ahead, Chris. This is KO6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group for ID. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, my last assignment was teaching fourth grade. The only problema was that, you know, if you had 20 students, that might work out. 30 students, you know, getting everyone up to speed with reading and math, constant challenge. And again, if we had 20 students, it might be more possible. Also, middle school is really the best time to get those kids, or maybe right before middle school. By high school, they're in a rut. K6YNW.
You know, and Chris, I've actually heard that with some people up here in Big Bear, and I've got a couple people out there that have actually approached me and said, you know what, that's the key point. Yeah, by middle school, that's like the best target time, and you're right. High school, it is. It's the structure. You've got the jocks. The jocks are focused 150%, and everybody who surrounds that. Nothing wrong with sports. It's a great thing to have in high school. But they're into football, baseball, basketball, soccer, all the different things out there with that. I mean, they have all these things going on. And that group, you're probably not going to approach. You're probably going to say, you know what, well, maybe 10 years from now they might look us back up. But, yeah, middle school, a very good point. I heard that from, actually, you're the third person now, and all the other two people I've heard that from essentially were involved with teaching. So appreciate that. We'll call that number three, and that's enough. I don't need 10. I'll lock that in. Appreciate that. Anyway, unless there's anybody else out with a comment, Mike, go ahead and pick that up.
Okay, Tom, yeah. I guess Jerry realized, well, we've got to change our focus, going through the educational system and trying to find things that interest the kids is, you know, a little different. So he came up with the idea that one of the most popular extracurricular activities is robots. Very cool. I like those robots banging together and then cutting each other up and everything. So if I like it, it's got to be cool too. So anyway, and he said there's a lot of robotic competition that give really a lot of fulfillment to the kids that are involved. And he's not sure of the structure of the efforts, you know, whether they're like clandestine robot fights or something like that in the back alley. But in his opinion, they should be involved in creative electronic activities. And he says the key word here is creative. Well, I can understand it. It would be very cool to get their learn a little bit of electronics and build their robots, build whatever, you know, kind of activity they're into electronic-wise. And then maybe use ham radio, maybe use a little RF package that will send some telemetry to your computer with the G-forces, you know, when they hit. How many lateral G-forces are like that? Very interested. But he said he thinks that if they gathered about a dozen kids and kind of taught them a little bit of electronics and maybe build a basic radio, that possibly a light would go out in their heads the first time they turned it on and heard a local station, and they'd say, wow, that's really cool. I remember when I built my first kit and it worked, it was very cool, but I had other, you know, little experiences with ham radio before that. Well, Tom, let's see what the broader approach is.
Well, you know, actually, and just to add a little bit to that, what you're talking about there, too, you know, with you say, robotics and stuff like that he's talking about, robotics, there's a new term that I came across here, what was it, a couple of years back, called mechatronics. Mechatronics. What is mechatronics? Well, basically coined up from mechanical and electronics together, And it's not just robotic. Robotics would be like a subset of that. What you have here is you've got mechanical things like robotics or automation or whatever, and it's controlled by electronics, whether it be computer or internet based or radio based, or all three combined. So anyway, very good. Google mechatronics. You will actually be, you'll find some pretty good stuff out there. Well, so, you know, here's what, so what do you do? So you, like, you've got these different things. Do you try to sell the fact of ham radio, or is it better to get them involved in electronics? They say, well, this, with this electronics, besides robotics, besides computers, besides the internet, besides phones, here's also ham radio, and we could integrate those other things of electronics into ham radio. Oh, wait a minute, they already are there. We have all these digital modes. We have actually Morse code decoders and encoders. You know, it's great if you can send code, but if you can't, here you go. We've got all this stuff at our disposal, or their disposal. And actually it's a whole lot easier, especially for the younger generation, to acquire a ham license, because, you know, the older you get, the harder it is to remember all those questions and answers. But with all that said, you know, it's like, do you sell the electronic side first, or the robotic side? Say, hey, by the way, you can control that robotics target, you know, or competition thing with remote control. By the way, did you know that's radio? And by the way, there's also ham radio. So, you know, you got to see which way is it better to steer in there. And sometimes it'll vary with the group you're approaching. So you have to be dynamic with that. But anyway, Mike, that's pretty much it. And that's a lot of what he's got here. You know, so we have to actually, if we're going to work on this, we actually need to be broad-minded and find out which way is going to approach these kids. Back to you, Mike, and then we'll go for questions and comments.
I kind of jotted down some ideas as we were getting into this here. There are probably a lot of us out there that are in good positions to kind of help to introduce kids to ham radio. The ones that came to mind are maybe the computer club members, if there's some younger people that join that. Civil Air Patrol, you know, people. A lot of kids are involved in the Civil Air Patrol. Oh, I think it's the Junior CAP or something. Not really sure. And educators, really in a good position to, if kids have questions about ham radio, or make it known that you are a ham radio operator, and if anybody's interested, you'd be more than happy to give them some information. That's about all I came up with just right off the cuff. Back to you, Tom.
Well, you know, and here's another thing too. You definitely can get the attention, depending on what type of ham radio. Like today, I had an AC out there, and they really don't look like an FRS radio. They don't. Well, of course, some of the newer ones are. Yeah, they're so tiny. You don't even know what it is. You know, what is it? But go ahead and pull up an aero antenna and start trying to work satellites out in the middle of the street and have people walk by. They think you're trying to exercise the forest. Trust me. Especially if you have to be not tuned in to Greenwich Mean Time and you're off by an hour or two and you're not even getting anything but a whole bunch of very weird noises, and that's even stranger for them as well as yourself. But anyway, public, you know, getting out in the public. I mean, right now we're on here and there's people out there listening, Mike, and we got a lot of people that do listen in every week. But it's amazing. I think it was Clint who actually did a survey here. I think there was like, I'm going to say something like 600, 700, 800 hams up here in Big Bear alone that reside here. And we know they're not all on here at Tech Tuesday. And we know that there is a few that are members of our club. But there's a lot that may not even know what we do up here, you know, with ham radio. So it's out there, but, you know, If all hams combined got out there with, you know, and were more into the public eye, that's probably the most important thing right there. Anyway, I'm going to ask for any comments or questions on this, or suggestions or ideas. Please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
KJ6RAY.
Okay, checking in LA, but also had somebody underneath you, but I'll hand it back to you first. KJ6RAY, Ray, good to hear you.
Yeah, Tom, good evening, everybody. Yes, I was introduced to ham radio when I was a kid by my grandfather, who was working the radio since the World War. And I got fascinated right away when I saw him operating on CW. And that was the first language that I learned on the ham radio. I started, he gave me a present, a CB. Started with a CB. And then he introduced me to the 2 meters. And then on the HF. He'll have a 70 centimeter before. And my first radio before was a standard crystal controlled, operating on 12 channels on the ham radio frequency. So what I'm doing right now is that I'm introducing to my 2 grandkids. One is 6 years old and the one is 2.5. I gave them a walkie-talkie to play with, and they're very interested. And hopefully they will get into ham radio. And all the way, every kid that comes along that sees me operating the ham radio, I introduce them and tell them what it can do. So that's how I try to promote ham radio. Back later, Tom, KJ6RAY.
Is that?
And KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group every Tuesday that we can. And thanks for that, Ray. Appreciate that. I've got some other stuff to share there, but if we have somebody else in there, go ahead.
WA6FIZ.
Yes, go ahead, Mickey.
Okay, I'm just listening to what Ray had to say about how he got started in radio. And I think it would be interesting to quiz the members, maybe not tonight, but maybe some evening when they check in, and ask them how they got interested in ham radio. It might prove interesting to find out how we got interested in ham radio, and how that might relate to enticing the younger people to get in ham radio.
Well, very good point there, Mick. Sharing stuff like that, especially on the net there, is always great. You know, not always like you can see where stuff is. You know, with ham radio, and my first actual interest in it was probably back in, 1965, 1966. And one thing, and I'm going to share this with everybody out there, is that my dad's boss, you know, pretty well-off guy back in Cleveland, Ohio, and he'd visit out here, and they came up to see us in Big Bear here at one time, and he had 2 kids, who are hams, by the way, and this was kind of amazing. And so my first introduction to ham radio, literally, I think I was about 8 or 9 years old, 10 years old, and they were hams. Of course, they didn't bring any gear, but anytime my dad went back east to visit them or on business or whatever, always heard. And my dad was fascinated by ham radio. He was not a ham himself, but he was fascinated by it. And would always hear the stories about, you know, where they were contacting. And, of course, they probably had the ultimate gear at the time. This was in the 1960s, let's say, early 60s. So, and it was fantastic when Falkland Islands were overrun, and that was on ham radio, and it was out there before it was on the news. It was all this stuff I heard. So it was pretty cool. It was like this whole group, the whole line of communication out there that was invisible to a lot of people unless you were a ham. So that was my original exposure. I said, wow. And then I actually got into ham radio from actually building through electronics and through CB as a start. And then of course, I picked up a ARRL, Amateur Radio Handbook. I said, wow, this has got all kinds of cool stuff, all ham radio based. and that was the beginning. So anyway, I'll send it back out there. Anybody else with comments or suggestions or stories, please come back. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, in the group.
Hey, Tom, WA6HF.
And good evening there, Ron. Go ahead.
Oh, not much to add, but yeah, I got into it when I was about 13, so kind of cool, you know. Went down to the SEC in Los Angeles with about four other compadres and pounded out 13 words a minute and got our license, so kind of cool. Nowadays, luckily, it's a little easier.
Got you started. What made you want to get that license in the first place?
Ron, I think Mickey was wanting to know what inspired you to get the license.
Oh, my dad bought me I was interested in radio and stuff like that, and I was going to go buy a junker piece of radio equipment at it was an HRO back in then. It was oh God, I can't even think of the name of it, down in Anaheim, but yeah, he bought me a nice Kenwood Twins, actually, the chrome-faced Kenwood Twins, and when I got those home, I had to study up and go get my my general, my advanced.
Oh, very, very cool, and you know, this is one thing, too, I just found out here, is I really didn't have any Elmers, per se. There was a guy I met, a buddy of mine, we kind of ended up growing up together, met him in junior high, and he was just barely beginning into dabble in electronics, I think, I don't even know why. But the next thing I know is we're building stuff and, you know, trading stories and looking at stuff. And he became a ham in the 70s and went on, did a lot of good stuff, worked in electronics for Raytheon. Originally General Dynamics, and I have to say, this is very sad. He was a year older than me, and I just found out recently he passed away from about a year ago, and we didn't even know that. He had moved to Arizona. So, you know, even though we were both ended up as ham radio operators, and we both pursued, you know, and we were always interested in electronics, we got out of touch, and unfortunately it was, I guess we're out of touch now for quite a while. But you never know what's going to happen out there. So, you know, it was a timely thing to happen to him. And then there's hams out there. We have a ham, honorary ham member of our club, Q, who has just turned 102. Now, he let his license go here about a year or two ago, so he's just an associate. But he was a licensed ham radio operator at 100 years old. So, you know, it's really great to hear that stuff. Always great to hear, you know, if you can promote the interest of that out there. So, anyway, I'll turn it back over to the group. Anybody out there with any more comments, please come back to KO6Q Tech Tuesday and the group.
JET.
JET, go ahead, Rob.
B6JET. Well, I got interested in it a lot. I made phone calls when I was in Vietnam on a ship. We were able to call home for 3 minutes, and the signal went into Arizona to a ham there, and then they would call collect to Los Angeles area. So I got to make a few off of the ship I was on, and a couple times I went to another ship, and their radio room, I guess, is going through Mars radio, but it still went through a ham station in, can't remember what city it was in Arizona. But it was kind of neat to be able to call all the way home that way for a freebie there. And it kind of interested me more into ham radio that way. W6JET.
You know what, Rob, I think I remember a lot of that happening back years ago. I'm going to say 60s, 70s, early 70s. If you were there with the Vietnam War, yeah, well, you had to be either in the 60s or early 70s. But with that said, the phone patch, because the phone system is basically, I mean, if you want to call out of your area, I mean, it was like a fortune. Nothing like what it is today, of course. But at that time, the phone patch was the phenomena. of ham radio. It was fantastic. I mean, repeaters, our original repeaters up on the hill, all with home patch electronics, carried through right till the cell phone explosion, I should call it. Probably in the actually early 1990s is when they really started getting smaller and better and actually doable. So with that said, but that actually was probably a part of a lot of people with ham radio years ago. So, but that'll do it. Well, you get that, they'll say like, wow, that's fantastic. You know, so anyway, good comment there, Rob. Back out to the group. From KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group here. Anybody else, please come in. Ray, go ahead. Glad to have you out there with us this evening, by the way. Go ahead. Back to you, Ray.
Very good, Tom. Good net tonight. This is WB6PBZ. Now, one of the things that got me started, too, was the earthquake in Alaska. And I think it was 60... I forget exactly, early 60s. The brother of my Elmer, they both were hams, and he did communications for people out of Alaska during the earthquake, and that was one thing that kind of really sparked my interest back then.
You know, and Ray, I think as anybody who's out there in HF, if you're a general class or tech, you've been listening in on HF, but any of the basic unfortunate disasters that have happened around the world lately in the last, how many years, there is a lot of available information and traffic on the HF bands. And a lot of times there's a net set up just to transmit out information of what's going on. A lot of it live, a lot of it at the location on HF radio. And the cool part about HF radio, as we all know, if you're set up properly on that transmitting station, you will talk to the world. I mean, you're going to get out there. It's not like our repeater here has a good footprint, does all that good stuff, and of course EchoLink kind of expands that out. But if you're on HF radio and you've got some good gear out there, doesn't have to be expensive gear, just good gear, decent gear, you're going to talk and be able to communicate that out there. So very good lifeline for anybody to have. Always great. Anyway, thanks, Ray. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there, comments or want to share something with us, please come back. KO6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
YNW.
Yes, go ahead, Chris.
Yes, a big Maj operator at the time in Phoenix was Barry Goldwater, K7UGA. K6YNW.
Oh, Roger that. I think I had actually read that in an article I was looking at here about a month or two ago on some stuff we were looking at. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Walter Cronkite, also big ham operator. Stu Nahum, I think he's the one I'm talking about. He was also a pilot. Passed away. That's the same guy. Hopefully I'm not talking about the wrong guy. A lot of people out there are very... very interesting that ham radio has touched a lot of we'll call them celebrities out there. Anyway, anybody else, please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
I just, again, I want to mention Barry Goldwater handled a lot of the phone patches in the Vietnam era, K6YNW.
Oh, good information there, Chris. Appreciate that. Fantastic. Anybody else, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group. All right, well, we're getting real close here to 8 o'clock, and do appreciate everybody who has joined us this evening, and I think we've had some great information out there. Reach out, if you have the time, to those youngsters out there, let's see, if I was 81, 82, 83 years old, that could even refer to somebody in their 60s. Okay, just pulling your leg there, Mick, if you're still out there listening. But anyway, I've got a lot of people I talk to, and I don't overwhelm them with that. Always good to have them interested. Don't destroy that interest, you know, just let it build. But sometimes lighting, just putting a little spark in there to get the fire going, is a good thing, you know, and just treat it with respect and always be willing to share the information and good stuff out there. I think we've got a good generation coming up that'll carry the torch forward. So, anyway, one last call. Any comments before we close Deck Tuesday? All right, well, QST, QST, QST. Glad to have everybody out there this evening, everybody who's joined in. Great experiences sharing. Good information here, carrying on the torch to our younger generation. Hopefully we'll have another great article, of course, to deal with next week. We always try that. And appreciate everybody joining us. Please come back again a week from now. If you know anybody who's going to think about becoming a ham, and I say this with a little bit of experience here. Last year at our club picnic, one of our newer members brought a guy who is not even a ham, was studying, and now he was at our, the newer ham is a ham. And I mean, he's also a VE, and the guy who wasn't a ham is now a ham. He's also, they're all members of the club, all experienced our field day adventure out there, and we all had a blast. So, hey, it's all moving the torch forward. Anyway, we'll return the repeater back to normal use, and I'll stick around for a bit here. Glad to have everybody. Please come back again next week at Tuesday, 1900 hours, right here on the K6BB repeater. Come by our picnic at Sugarloaf Park if you can, this Saturday at 10, 11, 12 o'clock-ish. And we'll return the repeater back to normal use. KF6Q.
Gavelli.
Our club down here, the Desert Radio Amateur Transmit Society, affectionately called the RAT, we have a ham class once a year, and there are a lot of people interested in it now because of civil preparedness and that stuff. But that's also been a very good source of membership for our club, K6YW.